Hi everyone. Well, it seems that when you hear my voice, you know that something bad has happened. And once again, something bad has happened. And in this case, it was my fault. We didn't mention it on the show, but I just started my sugar fast. And even though it was my first day, my first full day of no sugar, it seems that I was already suffering from some sort of sugar-related brain deficiency, and I forgot to turn on the microphone. Well, not forgot to turn on the microphone, I forgot to select the driver that controls our microphone so that we sound all nice for the show, and instead the show was recorded via the laptop microphone. So believe me when I tell you that it is a rather subpar recorded quality to this week's show, and I apologize. It was between us not having a show at all or us releasing this version of the show just because our schedules didn't allow us to do it again. So this is what you get. I think that if you're a fan of Sneaky Dragon, you'll forgive us. You'd rather have some content than no content for the week. So even though some of it may be indecipherable, incoherent, well, that's usual, but even if some of it is what's the word I'm looking for? Not illegible, because illegible would imply that I had written it out for you. It's a transcript. The transcript fell in some water and got wet, so now you can't read the show anymore. But you know what I mean. It's something. Something. It's a word that has escaped my further sugar-deficient brain. Anyhow, so enough of my blathering. Let's listen to this week's Sneaky Dragon. I hope you enjoy it despite the fact that we sound like we're talking on an old gramophone record from the 1920s.
Smooth.
Nice and
I think
smooth.
Once we get the names out, and we're on the launch pad,
mm-hmm.
Like Launchpad McQuack.
Exactly.
And we're ready to take off.
Mm-hmm.
And why are we Launchpad McQuack? Because we couldn't use Donald Duck.
Exactly.
We wanted to.
But
we couldn't. So we substituted with Launchpad McQuack. He's a poor man's Donald Duck.
Because they're so similar, the characters. The one, this kind of rocket tier sort of character. Oh, I think I took someone else's copyright. Let's start the show over.
Okay.
I'm not going to say Rocketeer.
All right.
Again, and then we'll...
I don't know what the problem with saying that was. What would it explain?
Because it's a movie and comic book character that's a licensed character. IDW licensed it, and I think I'm in hot water now.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Well, let me tell you, Dave.
Sure.
I happen to know the guy who was the Rocketeer,
mm-hmm.
So I can probably get you out of that.
Okay, thank goodness.
And he's a fine fellow, though I'm not watching his TV show, Helix. I should, Billy Campbell. Mm-hmm. I should be watching that show.
You should be watching that show.
He's a super sweet guy. He came and did the Critical Hit show.
Mm-hmm.
He's now a major part of our continuity as a character called Max Falcon.
Okay.
He impregnated one of our characters in the show. She has had his babies on the show. And he's just a swell guy who started off, apparently, doing medieval dinner theater. So he loved doing our show.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't be nicer. So listen, if you've got any Rocketeer problems, you talk to me. That's the one thing I can handle. Yeah.
Nothing else.
No, I can't handle your Herbie the Love Bug problems. I can't handle your Cat from Outer Space problems. Gus the Field Goal Kicking Mule problems.
It's actually Herbie's the Love Bug problem.
Is that right?
That's it's a totally different thing. It's just a...
Uh-huh, okay. Yeah,
you don't remember that character?
It's a very different movie.
It was a knockoff.
You know, that
was Gold Key.
You know, that sounds like the porno version.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of the porno versions of things, there's a real thing going on in Canada right now with the CRTC. Has expressed concern that there's not enough Canadian pornography.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on the internet. They feel, they really do. And also, I guess, on, like...
This sounds like a parody.
No, but it's true. Say your cable provider will provide you with pornography.
You're just trying out your Irrelevant Show sketches.
No, sir, I am not, because this would be too dirty for the Irrelevant Show, which is a nice, clean show on CBC, which is really managed by the CRTC. but, like, if you go to your Shaw... You know, that's what we got here. Your Rogers, yes. Or Bell. Yeah. You can get pornography. Well, too much of it, say the CRTC, is American. We need to balance that out with Canadian pornography. My suggestion, just do it again one more time in French.
Yeah.
You know, balance it out. It'll be fine. But that is a real issue that we've got here in Canada that I'm sure Americans, our American listeners, would go, what? But that's legitimately something that our government is concerned about. It's like, hey, wait a minute. A little of the old, you know, Canadian content in there.
Yeah, and we cornered some of the porn action. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, my feeling about all those shows that you mentioned is that there's too much talking in them. So I think if we're going to do Canadian ones, that we just cut out the talking.
Right.
Get straight to the action.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because it's so cold. You don't want to be talking. You just want to get right into the hot and sweaty part of it, just to warm up a little bit.
Yeah, that's the only, well, that's the only reason Canadians make love.
Mm.
I mean, we feel no pleasure
from
that. We just, it's strictly for warmth.
Sure.
And to a degree, procreation, but we don't really care. Like, we can also reproduce asexually. A lot of people don't know that about Canadians. Yeah. But if we spend enough time in proximity to someone of the opposite sex, or now that it's legal, someone of the same sex, eventually a baby will show up.
Is that
in
right?
The woods.
In the woods.
And it will crawl out of the woods, and if it speaks French, you pair it up with a French parent. Mm-hmm. If it speaks English, you pair it up with an English parent. And that's the way that goes. And you also got to get it before the Eagles do.
Yeah.
Because the Eagles are like in the trees waiting.
Well, they're on tour.
Yeah, that's right. The band, the Eagles, are looking for children to be roadies.
Exactly.
So they train them young.
They train them young.
That's right.
Or their tribute band, Little Eagles.
Is that right?
That's the other thing, yeah.
I wish I knew what a baby eagle was called. Because then that's
an eaglet.
Is it? I think that's what's on the end of shoelaces is an eaglet.
No, that's an egglet.
Hey, how do you keep your
your listenership?
No. How do you keep your igloo together, Dave?
How do you keep your igloo together?
With egg glue.
Oh, I get it.
That was one of the first jokes I learned when I was a child.
thank you for repeating that experience for a friend to hear.
I don't know if I mentioned this, but my niece is going through the worst period you can as a child, which is she now is going through the knock-knock joke period.
Mm-hmm.
I think I mentioned that to you.
Yeah.
Did you have that as a parent? Did you go through that with your two daughters, Melissa and Phyllis?
I had what's interesting about my daughters is Melissa went through that phase. Mm-hmm. Phyllis always seemed to get it. She got jokes really young. Whereas with Millis, you get the old, Daddy, why did the chicken cross the road? I don't know why the chicken crossed. Because it's a chicken. Get it? No, because there's no joke there. I don't understand what you're saying.
Now, am I wrong, or you know how you sit down with your child, and you have certain talks about serious subjects?
Yeah.
And the obvious one is, you know, the development of them sexually and such, but we're not going to get into that. But I don't think any parent really sits down and has the comedy talk. And just goes, let's go through what a joke is.
What's funny?
Yeah, what's funny?
Three is funny.
Yeah, tell them about the comedy of threes. Yeah. That's a nice way to go. Just like, set up, boom. Mm-hmm. You know, got to do the threes. You know, show them a little bit. Start them small. Start them with a little Laurel and Hardy. They'll understand that. It's funny. Even if they're not talking, they'll get that it's funny. One guy's skinny, one guy's fat. They're trying to bring a piano up thing. We get it. You move on from there. You can work your way up to a little Python. You know, as they get older, show them some satire. But, like, break down how a knock-knock joke works. So, really? When they start with that nonsense knock-knock where it makes no sense, go, like, that does not work.
Yeah.
Go repair your joke, come back, and I'm not going to hear the other six jokes unless you fix this one. And you're helping them out. Because they're going to go tell their friends, and their friends are going to get funnier, and that's going to pass on to the parents, and the parents are going to be less angry of having to listen to this, and then just be a better community thing. No one has the comedy talk.
I didn't quite do that. I hired a writer's room.
Okay.
And so what the girls had was they had a group of six writers,
right,
and one head writer, and they would kind of go through and make, you know, do the jokes for them every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, it was always like primo jokes from about 1986.
Well, I don't like the idea of your kids being around that much smoke.
Well, they weren't in the room.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they didn't have anything to do with the papers.
So they're not hearing them talk about their divorce.
No, they had nothing to do with that part of it. They just got delivered the material.
Yeah.
And they got pages.
I really do think that's not a bad talk to have, though, with kids. Is like, let's just break down how a joke works.
Do you think
they don't get it.
Yeah.
That's the problem. You see the frustration with them telling the knock-knock jokes, and like, they don't get how a joke works. Like, explain a pun to me.
But
what's the difference? What's funny about this? What's, You know, there has to be a certain degree of surprise. There has to be a twist. It has to be something that's in your wheelhouse. Like, I don't want to hear a kid telling me a Friars Club joke, clearly. That feels weird.
Because they're not a friar.
That's right. But
to and they've even been to an abbey.
To their friend. Yes, there you go. To their friends, it would be funny because it's the forbidden. You know, and that's adorable. But, like, here's who you tell this joke to.
Yeah.
Here's who you tell this joke to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that's teachable?
I do think...
Or do you think it's... I think it's partly instinct, or part of our development as people.
Okay, you have to instinctively find out what the other person finds funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because what's funny to mom ain't gonna be funny to dad. Okay, that might be the case.
That's true.
And sometimes you're playing to both.
I never laugh at the baking jokes.
Yeah, you're playing to the dinner table. Oh brother, you got to play to the sister and the dad,
yeah.
And maybe a guest showed up. Your friend's there. That's too big a room. You got to specify and work it out. But I do think there's certain teachable basics, yes. Like, here's how a knock-knock joke works, and no one tells a kid how a knock-knock joke works. Just like, let's break it down. What's funny about this? What's the twist? Now, write your own based on this exact same structure. I think you can do it. I think you can pull it off. If nothing else, you can't make it worse, can you, brother?
If nothing else, at least they're quiet for half an hour.
Doing a writing.
Writing.
I would like to think that, yeah. I mean, something I've wanted to do for a while... And maybe I'll just say it out loud so I'll actually have to do it. It's just get some of the comedians in town together and write, knock on wood, a funny joke book for kids. Like, get all of them to write five kid-appropriate jokes that are funny. Because I read the joke books and go, look, man, these are way out of date. Like, miles out of date. There's jokes about spats. Like, just get out of here. Stop it. Yeah.
It helps to
improve. Why did the rotary phone? Shut up!
It helps to improve their vocabulary.
Yeah.
Spats. Not everyone knows what spats are. And I don't mean a tiff.
Yeah. Well,
something you wear in your shoes.
Absolutely. You know who wears that? That's a Scrooge McDuck.
Ah, yes.
And he teams up with Launchpad McQuack. That's called bringing it all back, kids.
You know,
that's called a callback.
Here's a good question.
There's rule number one of comedy. By the way, car's coming by, an ambulance, so everyone please, as you know you should do.
I think it's going either way.
Then spit out your drink.
Here's a question for you. If Scrooge McDuck was such a cheapo, why did he wear spats when he actually didn't need to wear shoes at all?
How do you know that he bought them?
Oh, that's true. But he would have had to replace them over time. You think he just stole spats from some unsuspecting sleeping duck that lived nearby?
Well, now, he used to be...
Spats McQuack?
That's right. Have you ever seen Spats?
The brother of Launchpad.
You haven't seen him. Yeah. Why? Because he's got his spats stolen.
He lives at his house in shame.
Yeah. We talked a little bit in the back a while ago about Scrooge McDuck because, you know, we're clearly out of topics in episode 118. Don't know if I mentioned the number off the top. And whether or not Scrooge didn't change his name from McDuck, and yet Donald Duck's family changed their name from, you know, McDuck to Duck when they went to Ellis Island. Wrong. Two different families.
Yeah.
There's the Duck family. There's the McDuck family. You've got your Gearloose family. I don't think they're related, but there's a whole family tree of your Scrooge McDuck and the whole thing.
Yeah.
So no, I was incorrect about that. But Scrooge used to be a prospector. In the oldie days.
In the Yukon. Yeah.
No, I think, like, here's the thing. Scrooge only wears one outfit, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, after he became a prospector, he bought the one outfit.
Yeah.
Nothing from that going in. I think he clearly darns his own spats when they start to fray. He's not gonna be.
Maybe he's like Jeff Goldblum's character in The Fly, or no, maybe he's like Einstein, I should say.
No, wait, the first one. That sounds way more interesting than Einstein. But how is he like Jeff Goldblum's character?
Well, because he only wears the same clothes, and the reason it is that in the movie is because Einstein did it.
Okay, all right.
So I kind of mixed up my. That's only according to Jeff Goldblum's character.
But you're suggesting that he's got more than one outfit.
Yeah, but exactly the same.
No, I think that's extravagant. I think he just wears the same outfit every day.
And then he has the spats that he stole from Spats McQuack.
Right, and he dry cleans the outfit by swimming in the coins.
Maybe he steals all his clothes. Maybe the clothes also belong to Spats McQuack. He just can't leave his home at all because he's completely naked except for feathers. Which every other duck would be walking around quite proudly, but these guys seem hung up.
That is a bit tricky, the whole not wearing pants thing. Like, where is your shame in the Disneyverse?
Yes.
You know, they got no problem.
Nipples, no good. Genitalia, fine.
Yeah.
That seems to be the rule.
Yeah, there's been some cartoons lately where Mickey Mouse is ashamed that he's naked. I'm like, what are you covering up? Because usually he seems to be covering up his genitals.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, buddy, those are...
He does wear shorts, though.
Oh, he does wear short shorts, that's right.
Yeah. Something in the duck verse, which apparently is intermingled with the most first.
What does Minnie wear? She wears a miniskirt.
She wears a dress.
Literally, she wears a miniskirt.
I think, does she just wear a miniskirt?
Well, no, she's got a top.
She has a top, yeah.
Top and a skirt. Mm-hmm. Daisy, I don't believe, does Daisy wear bottoms?
I think she also wears a skirt.
Goofy wears full pants, because I think he's the most human of them all.
He's the most human.
I think he's got some junk going on there. You should not drop trout with...
He's swinging.
Yeah, I've never seen Goofy lose his pants, and I think that's for a reason. I'm trying to think of anyone else in the Mickeyverse. Pegleg Pete. Well, he wears pants because he's got peg legs. Probably disturbing to see the area where he lost his leg.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how horrible would that accident have been? Well, you just think like how much those guys can go through. That like it was so bad that it tore his leg clean off.
You don't know he's actually a really generous guy, and he gave his leg to another person.
Oh.
Or another thing, whatever that is.
Three-legged Pete.
He's a cat, isn't he?
He's a cat?
Yeah.
I think he's a cat. He is a cat.
He is a cat.
I would say, yes, I would say he is a cat. Yeah.
Okay, I'm just trying to refresh my memory.
But unlike a Mickey Mouse or a Donald Duck, he does not wear his name of his animal on his sleeve.
And then there's a character, I don't know his name, but he carefully covers up his nipples with his horse collar.
I think I knew his name before he said that. Horace? Maybe it's like...
Horace?
I think it's Horace Horse.
Okay.
I think so.
That's terrible.
I think it's Clara Bell Cow.
Yeah.
And then all the other names are just racist.
We really have run out of topics, right?
No, this is actually something that's disturbing. I've always...
We're just listing
no,
names.
No, it's always bothered me, you know, again, that, you know, come Christmas, you know, Donald sits down to eat a big fat goose. You know, it's just like, I don't know. So clearly there are animals that are animals in the Disneyverse, and then there's animals that are the midway point between human. And in the Scrooge McDuckverse, are there humans?
Those kind of weird dog creatures that are kind of
human. Are you talking like your Beagle Boys?
Yeah, but other people too. Like, if you read, like, Karl Barks, there's other characters that look like the Beagle Boys. They sort of melted human, kind of half-dog.
With human noses?
They have the black nose.
Well, then they're not a human,
are they? No, but I mean, they're not a dog either. They walk around on two legs, and I guess the other characters do too. But they're fully dressed.
Okay, well, so
and they wear hats. And
so is Goofy.
Like but I mean, they look like...
I again refer you to Goofy, sir.
They look...
And he's clearly not a human.
Does Goofy... Completely? Is he completely?
He wears pants. He wears a shirt. He wears a hat.
That's true. So Goofy's kind of like the...
He wears shoes.
Goofy is the freakish version of these characters, then. Because he's like, you know, he has longer ears than they do. But they have, like, kind of ears, like dog ears, like floppy down dog ears.
So do you think the Beagle Boys are the missing link in between the Goofy and the human in this universe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, at some point in the past...
I put a lot of thought into this.
At some point in the past, some guy fucked a duck. And it took.
Yeah.
And that's the one difference between our universe and the Disneyverse, is you can cross-pollinate species, but only between human and animal. But the animals cannot cross-pollinate. You cannot get a Daisy Duck cannot hook up with a Mickey Mouse and get yourself like a muck. You cannot have that happen.
Yeah.
Because that would be a duck amuck, and that is a Warner Brothers cartoon.
That's a Warner Brothers cartoon.
So you can't have that.
Totally trademark infringement. Like my saying the Rocketeer.
Yes.
Trademark infringement.
Again, you're fine. Don't worry
about
it.
Okay. But you've got me covered in that.
Yes, I do. By the way, I saw that Frozen movie. Have you seen that?
Very good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
A little fun.
I don't think there was any need for that little snowman. I thought that...
Someone else mentioned that. Former friend of the show, Mike Dawson.
Yeah?
He just said, I'm in the movie, so that's something for kids to like. But that's a reason to be in the movie, to me. Like, when you say there's no reason for him to be in the film,
mm-hmm.
he's the funny character in the film. So he's kind of... He has a thing.
Okay, you say he's the funny character in the film. I think the two leads are quite funny.
Well, they're
funny. You have a funny reindeer as well. You do some reindeer business with the guy.
Sure.
They have a lot of shtick.
Sure.
But then you have a character that just comes out that's full-on clown. Mm. Who's about, walkety-walkety! And, like, I'm indestructible. And it's like, all right, what are you doing here? What's your deal? Why'd you show up?
I enjoyed him.
Hey, guy. Jerry Lewis just showed up for no reason.
I saw that film in Seattle.
Okay.
We were at loose ends in the evening, and so we decided we were
sleepless.
We were sleepless, right? And so we went to see the movie, and it was fun, actually, to see it with an American audience.
Oh.
Because they are more vocal than we are.
Okay.
Like, they'll actually, like, there's a part in the film where the one character betrays the other character.
Mm-hmm.
And there was basically like an, oh, no, you didn't, some young girl yelled out really loudly.
Okay.
Like the equivalent of that, you know, and it was quite good. And then there's another moment where... Something happened, and there was another family on the other side of us, and they also exclaimed in some way of shock or whatever. It was just really kind of fun to see it that way. Like, because here, you know, we're, like, I wouldn't want a whole movie filled with that, by the way. Like,
yeah, you don't want a Mystery Science
Theater. I don't want everyone yelling and stuff like that, but it's just kind of fun, those little moments. Like, you know, if I think about it carefully, maybe I prefer a more staid audiences here in Canada where we just keep a you know, complete silence. My wife was a fan of Sex and the City. Do you remember that TV show with Sarah Jessica Parker?
Do you mean the TV show and the two movies, Dave?
And the two movies, yes.
Do you also mean the spin-off series, the Carrie Diaries?
I did not see that. Was that
I believe it's a television series. I believe it's her young. I don't know if it's called the Carrie Diaries. I think there's a series of books called the Carrie Diaries.
Okay.
But yeah, there was definitely the younger version of them.
Are you getting this mixed up with the Carry On films?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm going to. And Carrie Nation.
Carrie
Nation
as well. Yeah.
Yeah. No, please continue though.
So we went and saw the first film.
Okay.
It wasn't bad. Had its moments. It was okay.
Right.
As far as those sort of things go. Saw the second film.
Lawrence of My Labia.
I don't recommend to anyone to see the second film except to say that joke. That's only part of it, yes. It's really an odd movie, and that's part of it. There's a scene where they're like all excited. They're all going together. They're all best friends.
Wait, they're so excited now.
They're so excited.
Can't hide it.
They just can't hide it.
All right, now just
they're so excited.
Are they going to lose control?
They are going to lose control.
How do they feel about that?
They feel good about it, I think. I don't
know.
I think they like it.
All right.
You've gone past my knowledge of that song. After the excited, just can't hide it.
It just repeats.
Is that right?
And it's just on repeat
okay.
from that point on.
Okay. They're best friends. They're all together. Yeah. Woo, let's go. And they go. They get invited. I can't remember why. They're going to Kuwait. Because Kuwait needs some advertising. And so
she works as an ad person?
No.
What's her job?
The movie decided to be an advertisement for Kuwait.
Understood. But Carrie...
She's a writer.
For what?
She's like writes for like a New York magazine.
She's out of work then. There's no magazines anymore. So she's
there's still magazines.
Going over there to die.
There are still magazines.
Okay.
There's lots of people
there's
still reading magazines.
There's not enough to make her rich enough to go
there's
to
There's lots of people reading magazines.
Sure, all right. Yeah, they're great.
And she's in New York.
I read about that in Newsweek. When was that? Oh, yeah. When did that magazine go out of business? I read about that a couple of years ago.
Is Newsweek out of business?
Newsweek is gone, yes.
The Times Slower.
Oh, and, yes, it is.
Plain silly. I mean, it's not a matter of it's not a matter of the publishing industry. It's a matter of the over-leveraged multinational conglomerates who saw the publishing as an easy money business to get into and have over-leveraged themselves to buy all these newspapers and things. And now that newspapers are making oodles of cash, they're feeling the pinch.
Yeah, it's like,
but I mean, if you...
McLean says the magazine and the toothpaste. Just choose one,
buddy.
One
thing, yeah.
Choose one thing, the horrible toothpaste or the mediocre magazine. Choose one thing, buddy.
I don't mind. But
toothpaste?
The magazine.
Yeah, the toothpaste is terrible.
I don't know, but I don't think I've ever had the toothpaste, to be honest with you.
Oh, it's really awful. It's just like ashes. Just brush your teeth with an ashtray. It's awful.
So, but you know, the best...
What, menthol ashtray.
Yeah.
So you saw the movie.
So we saw the film, yeah. So there's a scene where they're
going to... Does it answer the unanswered questions from the first film?
I don't care. So when they go to Kuwait, all these best buds together, they get into this plane, and they all sit in little tiny isolation pods. Separated from each other.
Okay.
Then they get off the plane, the airport, and they all get into separate limos. There's four limos that pull up for them.
Okay.
We all, you know, quite well branded, so we can see what kind of limos they are. And then they're all swept off to the hotel where they all have separate suites in this hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Such best buds. Oh, how they love to travel together. It's just ridiculous. It's horrible. But what was fun about the film was there was a lady behind us who was well into it. Oh my gosh. She was really enjoying this movie. There's a scene where the character was going to do something rather dumb. And her friend advised her not to. And this lady behind us goes, yeah, listen to so-and-so, Carrie. You know, like she's like talking aloud to the character. She's like, yeah, she knows what's going on. And she kept like making this little, like, oh, and somebody else. She was so into this movie. And it was such a bad film. Like, you just felt like, wow, you know, I would have liked to seen you in the first film. Because you would have really enjoyed that one. At least that one had something going for it. They're in New York and friendship things were happening. Whereas this film was just like this endless... boring long thing, and then it ends with the older character. No, that would have been good.
Car chase.
Tom Cruise character jumps down out of the Kuwait hotel.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see Tom Cruise.
That would have been
fun. With the end.
That would have been fun. No, it ends with the older character, the Samantha character, having sex in a car with an older man. Scarred the girls terribly. They have not recovered from that scene.
As dust comes off both of them.
both their wrinkly asses, the bits of dust and yeah, it's just oh no.
And he said to the daughters, you should have seen her in Porky's.
that's an
most successful film in Canada, girls.
Yeah.
Most successful film in Canada.
Sure. I don't mind Porky's because it gave the guy money to make Christmas Story.
Yeah. Tokyo. So, you know. And there was, I think, I'm trying to think if the Care Bears movie did better or not. Might have.
Then what?
Porky's. I think, like, those are the two films that people want, the two big successful Canadian films around that
I
time.
I like that. One film is about bears in an imaginary land, and the other one takes place in Florida. Two most Canadian, first successful Canadian films of all time.
I thought you were going to do the old joke. I thought you were going to do the old joke.
I never do old jokes.
Okay, which was the old, yeah, one is about a whole bunch of creepy, creepy, loving, hairy bears, and the other one is the Care Bears movie. Like, there you go.
You're having some trouble with that.
I know, because it's the stupidest old joke that you could do. But I always like that, Jim.
I saw Porky's on home video with...
of course you did. A friend. On a loop.
With some friends.
Alone.
With some friends.
And then alone. Afterwards.
I did not.
See you guys later.
You know my rule of watching... What's my rule of watching films?
I don't want to get
into once is much. Enough. I saw the movie with my friend's parents and my friends.
Oh!
That seemed to take the shine off of it.
Oh, boy.
Although I think no one laughed.
Is this a Western?
Here.
No, it's not. Well, I heard the Hole in the Wall Gang would be in it.
But you know what my friend's name was?
That's pretty good, by the way. Hole in the Wall Gang. Oh. It's an old Western reference. Yeah. It's also, there's a hole in the wall. It's put their dick through.
I don't remember that.
You don't know? What? In Porky's?
Yeah, I don't remember
it's
that
the scene.
This is,
it's the shower
the only
scene.
Thing I remember is...
How do you not remember the shower scene from Porky's?
I don't remember that at all.
The whoop, the Death Star? Yes! How do you not?
I knew that.
You didn't see Porky's.
I did
you
see
don't
Porky's.
Remember the shower scene? Forget it.
I remember this. My friend's name was Mike Hunt.
Yeah. That's great.
That was his name. That's who I saw it with. That's what makes this thing stick out of my mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's just
not
their
really.
Parents being jerks. Not if really. That was the, if that was the case.
Enough. But you see, I did see it because I just referenced something else from the film.
I wonder if there's ever a time at like the, when they're filling out the birth certificate, where the doctor or someone goes, no, we're not doing that. I'm not doing that funny.
Yeah, they can refuse.
Yeah?
Yeah, they can refuse to names. Like, Lucifer and some other names like that are often not allowed to be used as names.
Oh, okay.
If my oldest daughter, Millis, was here, she could tell us all about it because she is a name expert and she loves names.
Oh, cool.
She has all kinds of information.
Because you were going to call her a horrible name. And
No.
She changed it.
Well, what was great with Millis, whose name is not Millis, but I'll just pretend that her name is Millis for the sake of this. Whenever we would say her real name when she was a baby at the hospital, I always get the same reaction from the nurses. I was like, oh, it's so nice to hear a traditional name. And they'd write out her name. And then I'd always say, oh, you forgot the silent X.
And that's why she became kind of a militant leader.
Of the...
X-Men.
Of the X-Men. Militant leader. Oh, okay, yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Millis X.
Millis X, that's right. She leads those guys.
Yeah.
And they fight the Hole in the Wall Gang. The Western
version. The Western version.
Wow.
Not the Porky's version.
No.
You don't have, I don't remember that scene at all. It's
Everyone
strange.
Just read a transcript of this
my,
to yourself.
My shame of having two adults in the room while we're watching that scene.
Absolutely.
Must have, like, erased it from my mind.
No, it's so tame. Nah, I guess the whole part isn't later. but leading up to it, the scene is like, ooh. It's like, now it's just like, It's what, you know, you got your internet now. It's like, there you go.
That's hard to compare things.
You think, like, what will be, what's shocking to us that, like, to, you know, the future generation will be like, nothing. What? You know, there's something right now that's like, ooh, it'll be like, that's just the way it goes.
What's a good reason to die?
Yeah, that's it, death.
Yeah.
To us, death is, whoa.
Oh, that's scary.
Well, we know what happens.
Yeah.
Like, they'll just be like, yeah, we know.
Yeah.
We proved it, and it's fine. And you do this, and this happens, and you do this, and you get your thing, and then you go, oh, it's fine. And they all know. And it's like, what are you complaining about? Nothing.
That's interesting, the idea that one day it will not be a mystery.
No, and they'll just, like, someone will figure it out. And they'll just like, all right, got it. That's fine. We'll plan for that. And what else am I doing today? All right. It's not scary. It's fine.
Yeah. I don't know. That's another reason to die. I don't want to know.
You get a tiny car.
Yeah,
and you can drive anywhere in the universe.
Hooray!
Yeah.
But no food.
Yeah, you get a little snack. They give you
just
a little snack box. And it
snack.
Never, but it never empties. Like,
never
it's like it's always full. So it's like you get one of those little cups and you get like some Smarties.
It's the only infinite part of the universe.
Yeah, and you get like a soda, like a bottomless soda.
Sure.
And but you never have to pee. Unless you want to, just for the pleasure of it. In which case, just snap yourself out.
We had a listener send us an email.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw this. And
maybe.
It had a link to a TV show or to a movie. I don't know what to call it. It was a show. It was on BBC.
Okay.
So I just want to thank Stuart McMillan who sent it. So thank you, Stuart. And what it was like a day in the life of Frank Quietly. the...
Oh, no, I didn't read that yet. Okay. Sorry about that. Tell me... by the way, I like his name. I like the...
His real name.
Well, no, no, I didn't see what his real name, but I like the made-up name.
Mm, yeah, it's a good name. And yeah, it does tell you his actual name in the thing.
Oh,
but it was enjoyable, actually. It was enjoyable because he lives in Glasgow, and I've been to Glasgow a couple times. And so that was kind of enjoyable, just to be, here's the city, I love the city. And, you know, just kind of showed his normal day. He actually starts in the morning with him leaving his home. You don't see his home. You don't see his family.
No, you don't want to do that.
But it shows him.
Will show up.
It shows him waiting for the bus. And so I was kind of enjoying that because it was like he was a grown-up character from Gregory's Girl. Still standing, watching cars driving by on the road. You know?
Now, does he have the voice of the original Gregory's Girl or the redub?
I was seeing the BBC version. So when it's shown here in North America, they'll probably redub his voice with an American actor doing a Scottish, I like to do comics. I'm a pretty good artist.
I guess that's something that does bug me when I watch documentaries and they have someone that they're talking with like a slight accent and then they put the words underneath them.
Yeah.
And they're just like, you condescending pricks. Just, it's fine. You know what? If I wanted subtitles, there's options for me to do that, but shut up.
Okay, have I ever told you my accent story?
No, please do.
Okay, I'll tell you this after we talk about it.
All right, you're going to forget, though. You won't
remember. You remind me.
Nope, you won't remember. I'll forget as well.
Okay.
You know who's going to remind us? Stuart.
Stuart, what I had to say. What was that about?
Yeah, okay, well, please continue.
So, yeah, it starts with him, and, you know, he's getting on the bus and stuff. He's not holding a sign to go to Caracas, though, so I knew he wasn't a character from Gregory's Girl.
Okay.
But,
by the way, everyone see Gregory's Girl, of these jokes will make
such
sense.
Such a good film.
You know what, stop the podcast right
now. Stop it right now.
Go.
In fact, just stop it.
Rent Gregory's Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Come back.
Sure.
Remind Dave of what he was going to talk about. Remember what you were going to talk about?
My accent story.
Boom. Okay, all right, we're still on that, and then we'll be good. All right, but anyway, but we're back.
Yeah.
You've now watched Gregory's Girl. Pretty good, huh?
Yeah, that's a grand
mistake. You should see some others by that director.
Yeah, really
go see others by that director. Come on back. Welcome back. They were good, huh? The one with the ice cream van? Anyway, all right, go ahead.
Pretty enjoyable.
Yeah. Please continue. Okay.
So then...
All local heroes really good.
That's good. And then, he has a studio in Glasgow, in the town of Glasgow. And so it's kind of fun to watch him there.
He buses to his studio?
Yeah, he buses to his studio.
Oh, boy. Okay.
And he stays there, it starts in the morning. He's there all day.
Mm-hmm.
He's basically there all night as well. He actually sleeps in a sleeping bag in his studio for a little while, has a nap. And then he finishes his work, and then he leaves in the morning, and he goes home.
Okay.
And that was, this whole day. But it was interesting. There's about four or five other people they show working there. But he works completely silently. He doesn't have anything playing while he's working. No music, no talking, anything. He just works in the quiet. That's kind of fun. It showed him drawing. He uses a Cintiq for his early stages of his drawing, and then he actually pencils onto the blue. He'll do roughs and print them out as a blue copy, and then he'll just pencil onto that, and I assume ink on it as well. And unless they print directly from his pencils, I don't know. His line isn't all that... there's not a lot of variation to his line, so he might just...
True.
Yeah.
Could be.
So it was interesting to watch. He's an artist that I like. You know, I do like a lot of his stuff.
I really like All-Star Superman, which he's done, and some of his other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, All-Star Superman. Yeah. And I never read the end of it, but I did enjoy it.
I'm not big on the end of it, so okay. I think you're all right.
I did all right. Good. And so it was interesting, and he was talking about when he was doing the Bizarro part of it.
Bizarro World, the part where he goes to Bizarro
World? Yeah, yeah. And he said at that time it was a really stressful part of his life because I guess, you know, the rates had gone down a lot for the artists, and he thought he was going to lose his house.
Oh.
And so he's going through this really stressful period while he's working on this Bizarro part, so gave it a real... I guess it gave it a real different kind of quality in his art.
I guess that was his real breakout work, was the All-Star. That was all that really took off for him.
Sure.
Made him a name. He was good.
Because he did X-Men before that.
Yes, he did. But this was the one that was kind of the... He could take all the awards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone knows who you are now. Yeah. And so... But it was... Yeah, it was really interesting. Just to watch him work and it made me want a Cintiq even more than I have before. But I don't like... I don't really like drawing on the Cintiq, but I like the idea of coloring and stuff like that. It looks so efficient, you know, people making things big and small and moving dials. And...
I like the idea of doing rough pencils and putting things in there that are the hard things to draw.
Mm.
And then, you know, give yourself a couple of times to draw that stupid couch.
Yeah.
Okay, done. Now print that up. Now pencil over all that and ink or whatever you want to do.
That is appealing. I mean, I do a lot of that with tracing paper, so I work at that.
Yeah, you're old-timey.
I am very old-timey.
Yeah.
Hey.
You're an inch away from being Amish. If we can record these and play them on Zoetrope, that's incorrect. Wax cylinders.
I am kind of Amish, but I don't use Zippitone, I use Buttonatone.
Okay.
So, because, yeah, it's not allowed to.
Is it Zipper Canadian?
I don't know.
It might might be. I think I know that one of Ty Templeton's relatives claims to have invented it.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Guest of the show, Ty Templeton.
Former friend of the show, Ty Templeton.
Yeah. And the other amazing thing about Ty Templeton, aside from him being a very talented artist, his godfather, Billy Graham.
Yeah.
We talked about that. That still blows my mind. Whenever I see something about Billy Graham, I'm like, oh, I know one of his godsons. Yeah, that's weird. Okay. Now, Dave, have you got a story to tell?
Oh, yes. Yes.
So did you would have forgotten, huh?
I don't know.
Yeah. We know how this goes.
This goes back to when I first started working where I work now, which is a medical supply company.
Okay.
And
set the stage.
Now, I've been to England.
Curtain up.
I've been to England. I've been to France.
You've seen Ladies and
That too. And which is a movie.
In Porky's.
Yes. That's right. And
I remember them.
You know,
I've
traveled all over England. I've been to Orkney. I had no trouble understanding accents.
Now, Dave, could you tell me all the places you've been to England in the song "I've Been Everywhere, Man"? With all the British ones.
Yeah.
British cities.
Sure.
Please.
Yeah. No. So.
Dick Gloucester. Gloucester. Sorry. Go ahead.
I've been everywhere, man. Even over there, man. I've been everywhere, man. Even up the stairs, man.
Okay.
I've been to London, 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 Ron's, Northampton, Liverpool. Right, no, Bristol,
Blackboard.
Dover, no, Edinburgh, Aberdeen, Glasgow, Inverness, Bewley. Oh boy, I'm running out of.
He's been everywhere.
Lots of other places, Lincoln, Ely, it goes on and on.
Nice.
York, Bristol, did I say Bristol?
Mansbridge,
no.
Have you been to Peter Mansbridge?
I've been to Peter Mansbridge. That's quite a town. So there's a town in British Columbia called Baldy Hughes, just so you know.
Is there?
Yeah.
Nice. Sounds like a very funny vaudeville.
So I just started, and so to me, I can understand any accent. That was my feeling.
So surprised.
I worked with a Filipino lady, and she had a lot of trouble with like people who phoned from Quebec understanding what they're saying.
All right.
She could understand if you spoke in like an anglicized English,
mm-hmm.
but if you spoke in an English that had an accent, she had a lot of trouble with it.
Okay.
So we got a call one day, and I could see in the dialer it said Mississippi, and she was talking to this person on the phone, and she looked very confused. So I was like, give the phone to me, I'll take care of this. No accent is too much for me.
Yeah.
So I answered the phone, I said, name of the medical
Don't company. Worry, don't you worry, you're pretty
little
ahead of it.
Pretty little ahead about it.
Yeah. So you tossed her dollar and went, buy yourself something pretty. We're the vending machine.
I couldn't have been more condescending.
Mm-hmm.
So I take the phone. I've got the pen in my hand, all ready to write down this information.
I get on my high horse.
And then I answer the phone. I say the name of the company, and I David speaking. Can I help you? And then this voice comes over. I need a file jam. Sorry, what? I need a file jam. Sorry, I can't quite understand. Can you say that? I need a file jam. Now, the voice was a woman's, clearly black. Clearly, it sounded like she was living somewhere in like the rural south, in a mobile home up on bricks.
Okay.
A bunch of cars parked in the front yard, unused. Right. There's a dog resting outside.
Now, to be fair, I'm from North Delta.
Yeah.
That was about two blocks from my home.
Yes.
Pretty much. There's a lot of. If she had a goat out front, she would have been a lot of my neighbors. So I can't judge on that. But please continue.
No, I'm just saying the setting the scene. Right, that's what it sounded like. Where I,
You remember the guy with the goat, right?
And it's just like. And then I said, could you please spell that for me? And my hand was still like poised over the paper, ready to write. I really kind of so finally just said, you have reached, name of company here, we are a medical supply company in British Columbia, Canada. Is that who you meant to call? Okay, have a nice day. Goodbye. Click. I don't think that she wanted to talk to us.
Okay.
But I don't know who she wanted to talk to, and I hope, dearly hope, that she wasn't saying that she needed an ambulance, because I was really no help for her.
Well, you wouldn't have been helpful.
But I don't know. She needed something that sounded like a flamajama.
Let me ask you this.
Some sort of flamajama that she needed.
Is your business phone number, I know you don't want to give out the number, but does it start with 911?
It does not.
Okay. Then it, probably not.
But she might have been confused. She may have had, she was laying on the floor. She had her cane outstretched, and she knocked the phone, the receiver, off of them.
Right.
Then she, dialed. She tried to dial with her shaking hands.
Dialed the British Columbia.
And she just kind of tapped out, one.
Oh, she tapped out? So she was a mixed martial arts.
Yeah, that's right. 604, and then just, and then somehow my number was tapped, or our number was tapped into us. Yeah. Now, to this day, I don't know. If you know what a flamma jam is, if someone out there could tell me what a flamma jam is,
she wanted flammable pajamas.
She wanted flammable
for
pajamas.
Children.
For children.
They're a little cheaper than regular pajamas. Yeah. And you know what? Unless they catch on fire, who knows the difference?
She must have known.
Flamma jams. They are flammable pajamas.
We sell flammable pajamas at the medical
center. Now, when you hung up the phone, did the lady that you worked with, was she standing there with a big grin on her face?
She was too polite to rub it in.
But she told her family about that
story
that
night. I
think
when she went home, there was some laughter on the game.
Eating the taco taco. And everyone's having a good laugh.
My tears were... What's taco taco?
It's a very delicious Filipino food that... They used to have...
Well, I said she was Filipino, did I?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That would have been quite the guess on my...
Yeah, I know it was. I was amazed.
Yeah, very...
How did you know that? Because she was polite.
Yes.
That's why you need to...
And they are the only polite people.
Yeah, they are the most polite people.
Yes.
It's well known.
That's absolutely well known.
Yeah.
Why is that semi-racist?
It's not,
because it's a compliment, right? Isn't that the way that works?
Okay, money in the hate crime store. It's been a while.
Yay! We'll buy ourselves something special at the end of the year.
Yay.
I couldn't be more happy. Hooray! Now, Dave, I took your advice.
I hope not.
No, I did. Okay. And you told me to watch True Detective.
Okay.
And I watched True Detective.
Watched all six episodes in one sitting.
So far, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in two sittings.
Okay.
Because my wife was looking after an otter at the aquarium. There's a sick otter that's there, and she was there helping towel him off and you know, doing all stuff and making sure that he got into the water to poop and everything. He seems to be doing all right.
Sure. Good.
So good news on the otter front.
Good.
But that leaves me home alone, and I'm like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I want to see that show. Is it possible? And I looked on our viewing on demand, and like, boom, there's all the episodes.
Okay.
All right. Let's do this.
Around, a little binge watching.
Let's do this, cats. Let's get ourselves ready and watch. Okay, so it starts off with the first one, and I go, this ain't for me.
Yeah.
I don't care for this.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, we're doing this again, are we? We're doing the ritual killing. And you dressed up the naked lady, and we're all just, okay, it's going to be. And then it does get really interesting.
Yeah.
Though, I don't know why everyone's been, and I'm not going to obviously spoil, because why would you do that? Because that'd be a dick move. Why everyone, don't tell what happens. Don't say what happens.
Yeah, I haven't seen you mean the final?
I've watched
the season finale, the sixth episode?
Well, there's the, I don't even want to say what happens, but
I've watched six episodes of
the show.
Yeah.
And then there's a seventh one that's out now.
Oh, maybe that's the final one that I saw.
Could be. But I don't think there's, maybe that last one there's been a bunch of spoilers, but that's a big thing. But everyone's like, okay, man, the fourth episode, that's the tensest. Oh, you got to see that last 10 minutes. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be... And it was good.
That was really good.
It was good.
I thought that was really well done.
But it was just too set up for me. Everyone was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Just
buckle
in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, here comes some twists. Friends become enemies. Enemies become friends. Everything you do is wrong. Wait, they're all... this is connected to the Under the Dome show. There's something you don't know. Did you notice that talking knob in the back?
Magic Mike shows up.
That's right. Those cans you were cutting, they weren't cans, they were babies. What? Oh, no, it's something.
So, I don't want to give stuff away. So, but does the fourth episode end with him in a neighborhood trying to...
Yes, one shot. They say one shot. It's not
one shot.
It's not
one shot,
no, obviously. But it's it's very exciting.
Yeah.
This is good TV. I'm all for you.
Yeah.
But, it wasn't one of those shows where, if you had spoilers, that ruins it for you. No, because it's a character.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Just I want to see this.
And not only that,
content.
It's back and forth in time, so the spoilers are built into the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know that the characters, when they're young, aren't going to die.
But it's
because they are talking to you in the present.
But what I didn't like was because people were doing this whole, don't spoil this, man.
Mm.
Don't spoil.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, well, clearly there's a twist to come. Here comes your big spin.
Yeah.
And there's no big spin. It's
no.
just,
yeah,
it gets more intense, and this happens, and this guy makes some bad choices, and this guy makes some good choices, and there we go. And what I liked about it was the thing that you thought it's about at the beginning is not what it's about.
Yeah.
Because, and I know a lot of people love your Hannibals and that kind of thing, and that's fine, but there seems to be, that seems to be a thing right now is get
it's romanticizing, well, not to say, it's romanticizing evil in a way that is an appealing to
right,
you.
And as you've said before, you don't like the serial killer who's a genius.
Yeah.
Who can cover all angles, And,
they're just very clever at camouflaging themselves. People who are actual serial killers learn very young to camouflage their feelings to other people.
Mm-hmm.
They learned how to tell a joke You know what I mean? They learn very early on that, you know, smashing a puppy's head in front of your friends will not make you popular and will make people think you're weird.
Right.
And will draw undue attention to yourself. So they learn to take all those feelings and hide them.
So you're saying they learn to tell a joke, so we should not teach our children how to tell jokes.
I just mean...
Because they become serial.
I'm just talking about part of the instinct. Just what you're saying, learning to tell a joke is about reading people.
Know the structure, right. To read people, right. But as they usually say, they were a loner. They kept to themselves, of course, because you were out in the open. People would figure it out. So this guy's wrong in the head.
But some of them even... But like that BTK guy... He was in a church. He was a church elder.
Yeah.
He was, you know, he was printing his horrible taunting notes on a computer printer in the church, I believe.
Okay, I'm not familiar with this case, but okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's always an exception to the rule. But
he
like,
called himself, he called himself the BTK killer.
I'll say, like, one of the reasons I was kind of like, oh, fuck, when I started to see it.
Yeah.
Again, it was just like, again, seeing the naked lady with the two... With the two guys standing around talking about her, taking us, it's like, okay, we're doing this.
And we're like, Dead Rick!
Well, it wasn't Dead Rick, it was again with this, you know. But I had just watched, because, and this is me being stupid, I watched a Law and Order SVU, okay, because that was also on a, you know, a play on demand. Why not watch this? And it was.
Yeah, why?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because it was one of those ripped from today's headlines, from last year's headlines.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Daniel Tosh and one of his stand-up sets was setting up a joke about rape. And a woman stood up and said, there's nothing funny about rape. And he said, you know what would be funny is if a bunch of guys raped you right now. And there we go. And so there was problems with that. So they basically take that exact same thing and they put it into the
show. I just want to say, horrified look on Dave's face.
Horrified look, that's right.
No one can see my horrified look.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So anyway, they do that in the show, but then the guy who's the comedian is a rapist, and he takes girls back, and he rapes them good, you know, and they do it in such a titillating style. And also, the other thing that bugs me is, like every show, it gets stand-up completely wrong.
Mm.
Like, it's so incredibly wrong what a stand-up is like. You know, they kind of make him a Bill Maher type then as well.
Okay.
They're just like, oh, just stop it. And they really do the titillating rapes. It's just like, just stop it. Like, to me, here's what it was like. When I watched the opening of True Detective, I went like, I bet this is a really good show. But I bet it's all, but seeing the naked lady with the antlers, you know, where they're talking about how she was anally this and brutally tortured or whatever, it's like, I'm sure this is good. But I think, you know, I know there's also good rape jokes, but I'm not into it, man.
Mm.
So I was like, as good as this is, it's still the thing that it is, so this probably isn't for me. So when I was watching the Law and Order thing, and it was like, all about it, it was just like, ugh, okay, now on to this. Okay, we're going to do this. But I'm going to give it a shot. Let's see where it goes. And, I thought it was like a really good character piece. The stuff they're doing, I think Matthew McConaughey is acting the hell out of that thing. And I think Woody Harrelson needs to pull that jaw in a bit, because he is jaw acting like nobody's business. There's this jaw, whole thing with the jaw. Just like, okay, pull the jaw back. Pull it back. But something I do like in the show, and again, this isn't a spoiler, but it's like the person who thinks they're ethical, you know, is just like, ooh, but they think they're the good guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, I like that. That was nice.
Yeah. No, like I say, it's a great character piece, and it's enjoyable. What's interesting, it's enjoyable in lots of different ways. There's lots of little details that are interesting about it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like the fact that in the beginning of it, when they're young and they're doing the thing, there's no black people in the police department. Like, you don't see anyone there.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
There's no one in the room that's
all right.
Black. Then, you know, later on, obviously it changes, you know, in modern time. They're being interviewed by two black people.
Yeah, I didn't notice that. Okay.
And it's just interesting little touches like that I thought were interesting. And yeah, I quite enjoyed the...
They use Woody Harrelson's hairline very well.
Yes. And
I like him just looking in the mirror and going, oh, I just realized. And you know, this is going to set him off a little bit to got to prove himself again.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, this isn't good for him to be losing his hair. Oh, no.
Yes. And yeah, it's a very good show.
Yeah.
Can I talk you into watching Banshee then?
Hey, what is Banshee?
Banshee's an interesting show. It's more of a...
Is it a Teen Wolf type situation?
No, it's not a Teen Wolf. It's about a guy who gets out of prison after he's been in prison for 15 years.
Okay, I've seen a lot of those shows. Tell me why it's different.
And he goes in search of... Oh, I'm going to kind of give away a beginning of it.
Because I like Life, and they did it with Life. There's another one now that's...
He's not in justice. He was a criminal. He is a criminal. He gets out of jail. He goes in search of his... you don't know why he's going, but he goes into New York City.
Mm-hmm.
He He gets some information from someone. Mm-hmm. Then he gets chased by someone else in a really good chase sequence. Then he goes out to this small town called Banshee in Pennsylvania, out in Amish country. And when he's in a bar...
There's a lot of people like you.
Yes, exactly.
Doing your thing.
Mm-hmm. We just, we're all buttoned up.
Using the button to...
Yeah. And so he is in this bar having
raise a little barn, raise a little barn, raise a little barn. That is Amish Trooper. I'm doing that.
Yes.
All right, please continue.
Thank you. Thanks. So then, you know, I can't...
That one's just thing. For me. That one's
yes,
just for
that
me.
That one's good. That was just for you. I can't think of any of the Trooper songs. So I can't
okay, the boys in the bright white,
of course,
drawn carriage. There you go. Waving their arms in the air, very calmly, and gathering milk.
Is there another one called V Live for a Good Time, Not a Long Time?
Is for a good time. There's a couple of Trooper songs. There's more Trooper songs than you would expect.
I think we already claimed Trooper one other. But anyway, he goes to this small town.
Now, by the way, we have done our Canadian content, so unlike the porn industry, we're covered.
Sure.
We're done.
We don't have to have sex on the show.
Nope.
So then, he's in this bar having a drink and having some food. And there's another guy there. It turns out he's the new town sheriff. He's just arrived.
Mm-hmm.
He's been hired on the QT.
Yeah.
By the local mayor who's trying to oust this king, local kind of crime lord.
Okay, can I take a guess where I think this is going to go?
Mm-hmm.
That guy gets killed, this guy becomes the sheriff.
Yeah.
I've seen that before, but you tell me what's good about it.
No, no, it's good.
All right,
good. You just have to see it.
All right.
There's lots of good character and lots of fun.
I'm in, all right.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with a plot line we've seen before, because you can still go places with it.
Sure.
Have you seen The Americans? Have you seen that show?
I saw an ad for it.
I would say, see the first episode, see what you think. It's kind of the movie length, but it's interesting enough on its own that I think you would maybe dig it.
Okay, I'll try it.
I'm trying to think what the guy from, what am I thinking? The guy from Life, who's really good, he's in that new show.
Homeland.
Yeah, did you see that?
That's a good show.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, it was good to a point, and then I got tired.
I only saw the first season.
Yeah, I mean, I watched part of the first season, then I got tired.
You got done?
I just don't know. Sometimes with shows, I reach a point where I'm just like, okay, I get it.
I gotta confess something to you, Dave.
Okay.
About my TV watching habits.
Sure. Oh, I know it's terrible. Oh, you do. I know it's terrible.
What is it?
You watch maybe the first episode, and then you watch the last episode. Yeah, and if you like what happens, then you'll maybe watch the
movie. Yeah, I did that with the House of Cards. Because I watched the full season of House of Cards.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, I just went, well, that's not right. I've done too much time on this. I'll go back.
But I feel like if you do that, you miss the backstories. You miss what's happening and why those things. Like I recommended the show to you, Orange is the New Black.
Yes.
And
well, you know why I can't watch that, because my wife hates shows about prison, so that's my problem.
Okay.
So I can watch it.
You have to sneak it in.
And it doesn't bother me because I know the author got out because she's writing a book about it. It's based on a book, so that's not a spoiler. It's based on a book, so.
But you watched a bit of it, then you watched the end show, and you said, that's all I need to see. And I was like, but you missed...
No, because she doesn't get out, right? Because it's more seasons.
Yeah, yeah. But I just feel like you missed the point of what happened in that part of the show.
Because
you didn't see what led up to it.
Absolutely.
So you missed, like, the kind of payoff that was in... It was kind of embedded or buried in that scene, or was...
Here's the thing, though. It's one of those situations like, all right, if I'm going to watch, like, a Dexter, okay? Like, you got a guy who's making a choice to, he's a serial killer.
Yeah.
But he's killing the bad guys, right? We've seen that too. But okay, fair enough. You know, if there's no punishment for the guy at the end, if there's no, then I don't want to go on this journey. Like, to me, that's just like, by the end it's like, oh, I spent a lot of time on this and it went some, and we ended up in this real area that I don't want to be in. I don't want to be here.
I didn't see the last season of Dexter.
So. That's okay.
I watched them all.
Up to that point,
and then...
Did you watch the cartoon prequels?
No.
I watched those.
There's a limit. There's a limit to my interest in anything.
Yeah.
Anything at all.
I guess that's a little bit, I mean, there's a lot of people that are like, you don't want the trailer, right, for the movie. You just want to go in cold.
That's me.
But, yeah, that's true. But, you also don't want to waste 2 hours of your life. So, you'll get, you kind of want to get the gist.
You say that, but even if you know a movie's bad,
if
there's a movie that you really want to see because you've always wanted to see that film, let's say someone makes a film of Spider-Man. I know it's crazy, but let's say they do.
Uh-huh.
And you hear it's bad.
Right.
But you love Spider-Man. You're still going to go see it, because you just won't believe that it's as bad as people say it is.
I'm not going to say what the name of this horror movie is, but there's a movie that was by a director I liked, and it was a horror movie, and I went to see it, and I regret seeing it, because it was so unpleasant, the ending. that I wish I'd known that before so I could have avoided it.
Yeah.
It was just like, well, that was so reprehensible that it took away the rest of the movie for me. And to this day, I still think about it and it kind of sickens me.
Yeah.
I wish I hadn't seen it. It's one of the only things
I'm really curious. Aren't you curious, dear listener?
I'll tell you afterwards.
You don't want to see it?
No, because it clearly spoils the film.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's no way of not spoiling the film by saying what this
How
is.
How old is the film?
It's about maybe 3 years old.
Okay, let's not spoil it.
Yeah, and
I'll tell you later.
Yeah, so there's certain things like, you know.
Email me and ask.
Yeah, you know, there's certain things you don't want to see. Like, there's certain things that you would really not want to spend time in a theater seeing.
Yeah.
And maybe you want to know about that before you go. And again, though, maybe that would spoil something for you. There's definitely a balance.
A whole movie about penguins. That would be an example of a film.
You didn't like Happy Feet. You know what? Give Happy Feet 2 a try.
2 a try?
Yeah. And see if it, once again, answers the questions that Happy Feet left dangling.
That's right. That was my problem with that film.
How are his hands?
Yeah.
How do they feel?
What happened?
He doesn't have hands. He's got flippers.
Yeah.
How do they feel?
I didn't actually see that film. But luckily now, I'm at an age where I don't have to watch those films because the girls no longer wanted to go see those films. Like, they wanted to see Frozen because they they want to see, quality films. So they don't want to see, any old knockoff.
Oh, speaking of that. You know the backstory behind that film and the main character, the main character, but the one who sings the Let It Go song, what her deal was before it kind of got rearranged.
Who sings Let It Go?
Well, it's the woman with the ice powers.
Oh, okay.
Elsa? Am I wrong? Is that her name?
Yeah.
Frosty?
Sure.
Let's say Frosty.
Let's say Frosty. Sure.
So anyway, Frosty.
Frosty.
In the original, it's based on The Ice Queen by Hans Christian Andersen.
Oh, is that what the movie's based on?
Yes.
So they took a book, or took a story like that. And they definitely
Well, same as the same team did with Rapunzel, with Tangled, which I liked that one quite a bit.
Sure, Tangled was fun.
Yeah, now with this, the Frosty is the villain. Not necessarily in the story, in whatever. They were going with here's what they did. They had basically the same plot up to the point where she sings the song Let It Go.
Yeah.
And they did all this, and then the people creating it went, she shouldn't be the villain. They realized, this is a shitty villain thing where they were making her a villain. She's just getting empowered at this point, and she shouldn't... No, she's not the villain.
Yeah.
And so they made another villain, off to the side. But that was where the story's going.
Secret villain.
That's a clear villain origin story of, they're friends, something goes wrong, they're kind of banished, here to go, but no. She was supposed to be the bad guy, and one of the biggest things they did with it was just like, no, she's not the bad guy. And I think kind of saved the film. Because she's a typical, almost a Disney, Millicent type monster.
Yeah, Maleficent. Yeah.
Maleficent, sorry. Yeah. Millicent is a different...
It's my daughter.
Is it your daughter?
Yeah, it's her full name.
Oh, is she a villain?
Well, no, it's Millicent.
Why'd you name her after a villain?
Because Maleficent is a villain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do they ever get each other's mail?
It's weird sometimes.
Okay.
She doesn't get a lot, just evil weekly.
Yeah, Maleficent. Am I getting that right?
Yes.
Maleficent.
Yeah.
Was she a fairy? Was she a bad fairy and there was three good fairies in Sleeping Beauty?
I don't know.
Was she a witch? What was her deal?
Yeah.
Here's the thing that bugged me about, not bugged me, but as a kid, freaked me out. Because there's, all Disney films are scary when you're a kid. As a good little Catholic boy, where she's fighting the guy, she goes, I summon all the powers of hell!
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, hell's on board with this? What are you talking about? And she goes, this giant dragon, there's all these flames. Wait, we never mention hell?
Yeah.
What's this about? And that was how's the fairy connected with, are fairies connected with hell? Did no one tell me about this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also unfair to dragons.
It's kind of an anti-dragon.
Which we take personally here.
Yeah. And until Pete's dragon, that was never...
Never dealt with. That's right. That was Pete's Dragon was just sort of it was kind of their attempt to kind of whitewash the past.
Mm-hmm.
Disney's anti-dragon stance. Yeah.
You know what? If I was a dragon, say I was a smog.
Okay.
Here's what I do.
Don't you mean Smaug?
You know what? Whatever you want to play, buddy. I don't want to get into this. You know, and there's always...
Because there's that movie, The Desolation of Smaug.
Once again, that's the French version, which we have to legally have in Canada.
Yeah, that's right.
Lobit, they call it.
Lobit.
When you've got the thing the only thing that'll kill him. I'm going to do it in this accent.
Okay.
The only thing to kill him is the...
What's that?
Is the Black Sword of Malarkey.
The Black Sword of Malarkey.
You know who I would... Yeah, Malarkey. You know who I would do? I would like to bullshit as the dragon going like, oh, listen, don't kill me. The only thing that killed me is a black soda malarkey. You know, that's what I would say. And then you don't know that what kills him is aluminum foil.
Okay.
The one thing
yeah.
do that you can get.
So it's kind of the don't throw me in that briar patch.
Yeah, don't tell him
yeah.
the shit that can really, like, he really lets that stuff slide. Like, same thing with, like, you know, Sleeping Beauty. It's like you got the sword of whatever, boom,
yeah.
right in the heart. Well.
But it's a prophecy that she has no control over.
Oh.
Like, she can't, like, go and, like, change, go around changing.
Oh, tell
books,
me about
like,
this
editing.
Prophecy situation.
Isn't that what, because
I know she makes a prophecy.
She makes, she casts a curse.
Yeah, the curse
she
is,
a curse.
She, well, here's the thing. She casts a curse and goes, like, on her 16th birthday, she will prick her finger on
yeah.
a spindle
yeah.
and die. And the witches, the little fairies go, oh, we can't do anything. So,
can't
oh, we can
it.
Alter it.
We
She'll
can,
just
yeah.
go to sleep. So you can,
sure.
like, take the edge off. You can pull it back a bit. You can,
Yeah,
so that's all you can do. So you're saying that Maleficent had something wrong?
I don't know. To be honest with you, I was making that up. I thought what you were saying was that there was some sort of well-known legend going around that you couldn't.
There's a movie coming out
called
Maleficent.
You sure it's not Maleficent?
Dude, I don't know.
Okay.
But it tells you her backstory. Because you know what makes all these stories better? Prequels.
No.
Really fill it in. Hey, let me get to know that Oz guy. What's his deal?
That is
What's
Oz.
His story?
Let's hear the story about the evil witch that got crushed by a house. You want to know more about her, right?
Yeah, what's her backstory?
And what about the witch that gets killed by water?
Yeah.
You know.
How about Hansel and Gretel's
You
want
to feel sorry for her, right? That she got lied to and twisted around and turned into this
yeah.
this horrible monster because of evil.
How did Hansel and Gretel's parents meet? You know, do they not like candy? Are they both diabetic, and that's why the kids have never had candy?
Yeah.
And get tempted by the house. What about the candy?
I don't think
witch?
You. I don't think
did she have a beef jerky house first, and that didn't work out?
Yes,
these are all the various houses they have. Like a low carb house is over here.
Yeah,
and then one just a big soda moat.
What was the story? I don't think you need to never have had candy before to be tempted by a candy house.
Yeah.
I would be tempted by a candy.
Well, they're starving. Like the parents clearly have made bad life choices.
Mm-hmm.
Are
you talking about the movie Hansel and Gretel?
I didn't know there was a movie Hansel and Gretel.
With the
vampire? No, witch hunters.
Yeah, with sausage face and some other lady.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just eat his face? Delicious sausages.
That's right.
So I'm like, there's no Hansel. Of course there is. There's a fairy tale. Everything now.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, everyone realized these were all in public domain, and like, there you go. Now it's.
I don't know if it's because it's a public domain, or they realize that CGI is really neat, and that it's they can do all kinds of neat stuff with their CGI. It's real neat.
I guess here's the thing. You know, the spoilers. 12 Years a Slave won for Best Picture, right? That one
okay.
for this
yeah.
year. That book is public domain. So if you want to make that on your own
yeah.
with like robots or something,
well,
go for it.
What
it's
you should
yours.
Do is
you're free to do it.
You should do a prequel explaining why the slave master becomes such a meanie. Yeah. Then you'll feel sorry for him, and it's just not a movie.
It's just a
you
movie.
Want both sides.
What's his deal?
You want both sides.
Oh,
yeah.
You gotta have both
yeah.
sides.
Well, 12 Years a Slave owner. That's a lot of work. It
yeah.
makes you feel sorry for the guy.
Show the backstory.
Feed them. You gotta build houses for them. Ugh. You know what's easier? Hiring them.
Absolutely.
That's better.
Absolutely.
Pay them bad wages and just hire them. You don't have to clothe them, feed them.
So what's worse, doing a prequel like your Maleficent?
Yeah.
Or doing a sequel like your 300 sequel that's out coming out,
just called 300er.
That's right.
Yeah.
So what's the greater sin? What should you?
What is the greater sin?
What's the greater sin? Your Prometheuses or your Alien 3s? Like, what's your worst? What's your what's the one that you? If you had to do one, this is which one do you have to do?
Well, okay. Here's the thing. I think the sequel, if there's a bad sequel, it's worse. Because the bad sequel ruins the movie that came before it.
Does it? Doesn't the prequel ruin
no.
it as well? Because you've now
no.
taken all the mystery
no.
and interest. Here's what you've taken out with...
No, because...
Okay,
let me just finish.
Please
because...
Do.
Because...
I will counter this, sir.
Okay. Because the sequel makes you... It fills you full of anticipation of what you just witnessed. So you loved Aliens. And, you know, so Ripley...
You loved Aliens. You loved Aliens.
With Newt and Michael Biehn character, whatever his name was. They all get into their little potty things.
Gets
and
in with Fig Newton.
They take off. And then when the sequel comes out, all those characters are dead.
Right.
And it's just totally disappointing because you had this whole movie made up in your mind.
Right.
And then when it actually, you know, and then the movie just shits in your face.
Like a Terminator 3 as well, yes.
I don't think that's as well.
Yes, it is.
It spoils it in a different way. Yeah, yeah.
It kills the message of the film,
so,
which is the same way that Aliens messages
yeah,
kill.
Yeah, okay, there you go. That's
yeah.
true. And so I just feel like that's worse than the prequel. Like Prometheus... it's kind of a silly film. I don't, it's pretty terrible. But I don't think it ruins Alien. I don't think it really, to me, had nothing. Like, I can separate them in my mind from each other.
Okay.
I can separate Alien 2 from Prometheus. Like, they're hardly related at all. You know, besides using some of the set pieces and stuff like that. Not set, or sets, I should say. Mm-hmm. Really, other than that, what do they have to do with each other?
Okay. Well, like, the Phantom Menace, does that taint a Star Wars?
Doesn't exist.
And it's so bad, it doesn't exist. There, asked and answered. It's so bad that you've erased it from history.
Yeah.
The end. Done.
A bigger disappointment for me was Return of the Jedi. Because that was a film that, after I saw Empire Strikes Back, I was crazily anticipating Return of the Jedi. And when it came out, and they spent 2 hours fighting in front of a doorway, I was disappointed by that film.
Okay. I'm going to say yes. Sequels can ruin the message of a film that you've done.
And all your anticipation, all your build-up, all your excitement about it.
Because here's your problem, is you've written a better movie in your head than can ever be delivered. Like, when you think of a sequel to the movie that you love, you thinking all these, like, you're thinking, the sequel to Blade Runner, oh, well, this character will this, and we'll do this, and we'll that. They're not going to do that.
Yeah.
None of that's going to happen, buddy. None of it. So, you know, that movie is fighting against your movie in your head, you know, where you never had that with the first movie because you're coming in clean. Now, the problem...
It's not that so much. I mean, I did not write a new Return of the Jedi.
You had your expectations.
I had expectations.
You played some scenarios.
My expectations was that the film would be as good as Empire Strikes Back. It wasn't, or even better than Empire Strikes Back. You know what I mean? Like, my anticipation wasn't, well, this is going to happen in the film. Or this is going to... I did not make any guesses of what I was going to see.
Here's why your middle film usually really cooks. Like, you're a Spider-Man 2 or something like that. Yeah. It really cooks.
Yeah.
And a Spider-Man 3 sucks. It's because the second film doesn't have to... Okay, your first film has to be your origin, so you got all that baggage to fucking deal with.
Yeah.
Introduce all these characters. Who are these guys? Okay, now we got to get on with it. And the third film has to... We got to wrap it up or bring it up to some sort of satisfying, heartfelt conclusion. Oh, where we started is not where we ended, and here's our growth. The middle film just goes, whee! We're just a movie. We're just going along. We're having a great time. There's no pressure. It's your middle years in high school. You're not worried about, like, oh, I just came to school, and who are these guys? They're all big, and it's not the last one. I got to graduate. My grades are good. It's like, it's the middle years where, like, whee! You know, you're just having an okay time. Not me. Hated high school. But in general, it's that middle time.
Yeah.
It's the middle time in your summer vacation. You're not like, and you're not like, ugh, you're, and you can enjoy it. My problem with the prequels is, one of the great things about a movie is you're able to project yourself into the character, and you sort of empathize with them, and like, you're going, and you're Han Solo for this, or you're Luke, or whatever. But now when you tell me Han Solo's backstory, ugh, now you've taken that away, and you've made it too specific. You want to make characters general enough that you can project yourself into them, and that's what prequels screw up.
That's true, but I mean... Empire Strikes Back could have been screwed up too. There was a written sequence that was never used, but there was a sequence written in the script that has Han Solo going back to see his father to get money from him for the rebel cause.
Right.
Now, that would be horrible, seeing Han Solo's father.
Right, and Han Solo's sister, Gretel Solo.
Yeah.
And you find out that whole story, Jabba was actually the witch.
That's...
And the whole thing was just ripped off from that. Nice job.
Very, very good. I like how you wrapped it around. Comedy.
Han Solo and Gretel Solo.
That's an example of how. That's an example of how, you know, a sequel could also ruin. You know what I mean? Like, it could also give you backstory that ruins.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it can happen on both sides.
But does Godfather 3 fuck up Godfather 2 and Godfather?
Yeah, it does.
A little bit, doesn't it? Yeah, because you can't help but think, like, eh, that's not
it. Because, you don't. Well, for one thing, almost every third film you don't need.
Yep.
You know, like, almost every third film, there's no reason for it. Yeah, it feels a bit greedy. I mean, there's a reason why. Godfather 3 came out 40 years after the Godfather 2. Because Godfather 2 and Godfather 1 and 2 stand together perfectly as two perfect films.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the fact that Godfather 2 had scenes that were cut from the first Godfather, used in that film makes it even better because it really ties them more closely together, right? Now, I can see what you mean about a prequel. Like, I see that on both sides. Both ends can ruin...
Let me fix the film.
I just think that this prequel is you're less likely to be full of anticipation for the prequel. Mostly because they've already had a sequel for the film, and it's already ruined it. So by the time the prequel comes out, forget about it.
Let me fix...
No expectations.
Let me fix Alien 3 for you right now. Let me fix it for you. Here's what happens.
Okay.
Ripley doesn't show up. Newt shows up. Done!
Yeah?
Done! Everyone's happy. Newt survived.
No money in that movie, though.
Yeah, depends. Sexy lady showing up on the thing and about the thing. Also, Alien, I think, will do all right. And so you get Newt, you know, and she's grown up. Ripley's taught her some stuff, but, like, she's kind of vulnerable. And now that's interesting. Boom, let's go to town. Let me fix Alien 4 for you. None of the... Ripley doesn't have to be in it at all. Yeah. That's the team. They're dealing with all this shit. Done. We're fine. Introduce new characters and go to town. The aliens can carry it.
See, here's the thing. I saw Alien 3 in the theater, which you took me to. You took me, made me come see I'm Alien 3 with you.
I'm sorry.
And I saw Alien 4 in the theater as well. More. I'm just saying, it's been a while since I saw them. I have the Alien...
that lady from Sex and the City behind going, don't go to the prison planet. Keep driving. Even if you're out of gas.
I have the box set with all four films in it. So one of these days I should pull out the 3 and 4 and watch them.
Yeah. I mean, I remember hearing Joss Whedon, who wrote the fourth film, saying when he saw the alien at the end of it, the half-human or whatever, half-alien, he said, a single manly tear rolled down my cheek. Yeah. Good old Scully the alien.
I can barely remember it. I do remember it being kind of...
Winona Ryder as a robot.
Yeah.
Yep. There's a mistake.
It's not...
Unless you make her your lead, then that's a huge mistake. I like Ron Perlman. He always does a nice job.
Yes,
he tries his best.
But I tell you, when I was down in Portland a few weeks ago, we were down there at the same time as there's a Wizard Con.
Oh, for Wizards.
I didn't know that it was on.
A bunch of Dumbledores and a bunch of Gandalfs.
That's what I was thinking, but no, it's actually a comic book convention.
Is Dumbledore a wizard? Yes, he is. Yeah, because Harry's a wizard.
He's a wizard, not a fairy.
And James Franco?
Although
it would be there.
J.K. Rowling. What's that story?
And James Franco?
Yes.
He's a wonderful wizard.
He's a wizard, that's right. And so we went, but we didn't know this, but in our hotel was one of the kind of areas where the big guests were staying. So when I was waiting downstairs for everyone to finally troop downstairs, I saw Summer Glau, the actress who plays River on Firefly, come walking out and get into this big black SUV. And I saw this very small, petite lady walk by, and I went, gee, she looks like Summer Glau. And then I thought, oh, no, because that is Summer Glau. Because then I realized there's these people with Wizard World Handler on their tags handling her and talking into phones and being very important as they shoot these people off to the airport, I guess. So then... I was waiting for our car came. And of course, everyone came down after she had gone, and I told them all, oh, you missed Summer Glau. And of course, the girls were disappointed because they love Firefly. And so then when our car came, I was being very slow at getting our stuff into the back. I got the luggage in, and I had to get some CDs out because I bought some CDs, and I was putting them into the pockets.
Yeah,
we could put them in the car. I was taking my time.
Alphabetize them.
And so then William Shatner comes walking out. I was like, oh, that's William Shatner.
You shat your pants.
I have shattered my pants, exactly. And then Ron Perlman came out. And here's William Shatner being William Shatner. He got to get in on the sidewalk sign. And Ron Perlman had to walk around and get in on the roadside of it.
Yeah.
The car.
He's a Teleboy.
So
and the Beast.
And the Beast. And so I was looking at him. And also the guy from Pacific Rim, whoever that character is.
And also the guy from Blade 2.
And also the guy from Blade 2.
And also the guy from Alien 4. Yeah, you know what? Alien 4, fucking, yeah, you do walk around.
You do walk
around. You walk around a couple of times, buddy.
But
you walk it out.
So I was staring at him. I was going, oh, that's Ron Perlman. And he looked at me and he saw that I was staring at him. So I kind of nodded my head at him like, hey. And he nodded back, hey. And then he got into the car.
Well, you've heard the Nathan Fillion thing, right? What he wants you to do?
What's that?
All right, here's the thing.
If I see Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, on the road.
On the road.
Killing. No, wait, the Buddha. Buddha. I'm sorry. Buddha. Don't do that to Nathan Fillion.
Too late. You better put it in my hand.
So here's what Nathan Fillion has said to his to fans and just casual likers of Firefly.
He's
like, listen, I understand that you see me and you're like, I want to say something, but I don't know what to say. And it's awkward. It's awkward for you. It's awkward for me.
Yeah.
And you know, we could sign an autograph, but that would also be, what's the point of that? Maybe you don't want that, but that's the thing you got to do.
Yeah.
Here's all you have to do.
Yeah.
Come up to me and just give me a nod and go, Captain. And I'll go, hi. And I'll give you a nod back. And acknowledge back.
Sure.
I'll give you a smile. We'll both know that happened. Everything's cool. That's the thing just between you and me. We get it. I'll always give you the nod and I'll give you the smile. And that's it. So, you see Nathan Fillion? Captain.
Nice. I'll have to remember that.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't have shrieked Hellboy and ran and grabbed onto his legs and as he dragged me around the car to the driver's or the passenger side of the or driver's side of the
I don't know. I think he might just be
he
happy
might have
to
been,
like the attention. He
liked that.
Yeah. Good for Ron Perlman. You know what? William Shatner's cool too. They both seem like cool guys.
Yeah. They both seem, I don't know. I saw them from a distance behind a trunk.
As a Canadian, I've got to say, William Shatner's Canadian, so I got to give him the leg up on that.
Oh.
Because he's a weird Canadian. He's the kind of Canadian that I like, which is just like, just an odd.
Is he odd?
Always very odd. See any documentaries on the guy? He's like he's the good kind of weirdo.
Oh, okay.
He's a real enjoyer of life and. You know, he's been through a lot of sad, but he's,
okay.
But he's, his one-man show talking about that kind of thing is actually quite, like, wow, really, ooh, yeah, good.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think it's time that we
went
to the plugs.
Okay, every time I talk about William Shatner, it's time for plugs. Yeah. There we go, nice.
Yeah.
Well done. Well, as always, last Wednesday of the month, I'm doing the Critical Hit show at the Rio Theater. That's a live Dungeons & Dragons show. Always like to see you there. If you come to the Emerald City Comic Con at the end of this month, which is March, we'll also be doing the show there in Seattle. And I'll be performing on Friday and Saturday at the end of the month. I don't know what the exact dates are. At the Pike Place Market.
Yeah.
The Unexpected Theater. And it's their theater sports shows. I'll be performing.
Emerald City is the 28th, 29th.
Right, and Dave and I will both be wandering around there.
Yes, we will.
Dave will be staying at a very sexy hotel called the W.
I will be staying. I'll be staying there with my daughters.
Yes.
To make it even more sexy. two teenage daughters.
Now, much like Nathan Fillion, if someone recognizes you,
yes,
how should they approach you? Is there something they should just go, dragon? Or should they? What should they do? What should they just come up with?
I think that they should treat me
high five you.
They should treat me like the Buddha and kill me.
Oh,
yeah, well, that's probably
it. It's American. They got guns. They
take that seriously?
They take that stuff seriously.
Oh, okay.
What is the nice thing if someone does recognize you, as sometimes happens, what should they do? Should they go in for the hug? What should they
no,
do?
No hugs.
If they do go for a hug, high hug or low hug?
Please do not hug me.
Okay. Just a gentle kiss on the top of
my head. I am not comfortable with that kind of intimate physical contact.
Just a little blowing in your ear.
Just say, hey, Dave. That would make me happy.
All right, and then what happens? So I'll be the fan.
Sure.
Hey, Dave.
Hey. There you go. Once again, it's just between us.
Hi, Dave.
You can talk to me. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Hey, Dave, sports.
Yes, I'll talk to you about sports.
All right,
hey, Dave, music. I'll talk to you about music. Hey, Dave, movies. I'll talk to you about movies. Hey, Dave, Beatles. I'll talk to you about Beatles. More Beatles than you ever want to hear. So I do a podcast called Completely Beatles.
Oh, wait, let's get to that plug in a second. So, that's basically about it. You can always pick up a Simpsons or Futurama comic book. I usually write those. That's always nice. And I write for a show called The Irrelevant Show on CBC Radio. That's also available in podcast form. And the last couple of episodes, one of my sketches has usually been the first or second one there. So give that a listen if you will. And yeah, if you're in Emerald City, please come and say hi to see us wandering about. If you feel like wearing this show on your body, we have shirts available at sneakydragon.com. That's also a good place to go and post what your thoughts are about this show. We'd love to hear from you. You can do that on Facebook. You can do it on all the things that you normally can. Your Twitters, sneaky_dragon on Twitter. That kind of thing. Is there anything you want to plug?
Nope.
Really?
Nope.
Nothing at all?
Well, do you want me to mention the Bandcamp on FedEx?
Oh, sure. Let's do those real quick.
So, I was trying to look up on my phone.
It's a new calendar. Phone.
It's a new phone. I got a new phone, everybody.
He's showing it to you right now. He's picked up the phone and showing it to the microphone.
Because I was trying to look at the calendar thing. Because I put in these things that we're doing later on in the calendar.
Okay.
Only I don't know the phone well enough to figure out how to get out of the month of March to look ahead because we're doing Fan Expo.
Fan Expo.
Sometime in April, I believe.
Could be May as well.
Could be May.
Might be. Know. We'll see.
And then we're also doing Bandcamp, which is also sometime later on in the spring.
Yes, as well. So please come and say hi to us at those as well.
I will. By that point, I will have figured out my phone magic, and I will be able to look ahead.
You were showing me some stuff for the phone, and it's actually very impressive.
It's kind of cool what it is. It's a Moto X. I'm kind of an Android guy.
Mm-hmm.
Even though everyone else in my family have iPhones, I'm an Android guy. So I looked at this phone, and I thought it was really quite nice. It's got some cool features. It has this thing where if it's sitting and you're not doing anything, you can lift it up, and it'll just show you on the screen the time, and then it'll show you if you have any notifications. And because it's an AMOLED screen, what's interesting is that it just lights up those pixels.
Oh,
so the rest of the screen is black, so it doesn't actually use any battery life to do that, or very little anyway, so it doesn't affect the battery. Whereas if your normal phones, you first have to pick it up, turn it on, it lights up the whole screen,
right,
while you look at the time and then put it back in your pocket. And so this phone is a little different that way. So I like that part of it.
Very smart.
I like the fact that with a kind of a double doorknob, opening a doorknob action, you can turn on the camera on the phone.
Right.
Which I like that. So if you need to speedily film something, you take a picture.
Right. You just have to make that. You know that's kind of jerking off hand motion.
No,
jerking off. People do when it's like, yeah, that kind of stuff, wackety, wackety. You do that and your phone turns on, you can take a picture.
Sure.
Yeah, that's
right.
Not creepy.
Not creepy at all. It's actually more of a come see, come saw kind of emotion. Kind of a so-so.
Now, really, oh, that is the French version, of course, of what we just said.
Yeah. Is that right?
No.
That's what the French do?
The French pornography is called come see, come saw.
Is that right?
That is.
Thanks. And then the other thing I like about it is the Google Now feature, which is that even if the phone is sitting off, you can access your Google, you can activate the voice controls that you can do.
Oh, nice. You can do the old, you can reminders,
set your alarms, set reminders, call people, send texts, whatever you want to do. So.
Well, here's something that my iPhone does that that's kind of neat. It's like, if I'm on my couch and I'm checking, say, my messages or I'm looking at stuff, it's got a feature where my cat can rub their face against it, and it makes their teeth feel nice.
Oh.
Yeah, just a sign of fresh air over again. And that works on both sides of the phone.
Both sides.
So I've got two cats, and they can rub on both sides if they want. And they do. They prefer the iPad for that, but they will, in a pinch, rub their faces on the phone and go,
oh, that is a feature. I don't know if that works yet, because my cat isn't allowed in the house, but our dogs. But what really sold me on this phone is it cost me a penny on a plan. So.
Oh, okay, on a plan.
That was.
Otherwise, I think that was a stolen phone.
No, it's not a stolen phone. It cost me a penny.
All right. And so, if people want to call you, what's your phone number?
Because if
not
going to
give you $5.
If I got here's the thing. If I got an iPhone, it was $180,
mm-hmm.
and even like another Android, like a Nexus 4 or whatever, they're $50 to $90 for them. So I was like, nah, penny. But I really like it.
Sure. So after this, you're saying we can go get a very tasty pizza, not like the cheap pizza.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sounds good.
I can afford it this time.
Nice.
No cardboard with cheese on it for us.
That's right. Guys, can you just color this cardboard red? Thanks, fellas. No, I don't want any of yours. I'm good. Real goat diet.
We eat well.
We do. So I think that does bring us.
You can wrap it up.
Oh, I'm gonna wrap it up.
You can wrap it up right now.
I'm doing it. Everyone, we'd love to hear from you.
This is the wrap up.
It is good. Thanks. See what I deal with every week. And again, if you want to, the one other thing that we sometimes say, but we others don't, is go onto iTunes and mention that you like the show on iTunes. You know, do a little one of those, put the stars up and maybe do a little review. And that's always nice too. That helps us get kind of a little bit of recognition and
it brings attention to the
charts and what have you.
Yeah.
And if you want to listen to more of us, you go like, well, I haven't had enough with the Sacred Dragon. Listen to our other podcast, which is Completely Beatles, where we go through an entire Beatles album, and Dave says a lot of facts, and I make wise-ass comments. There you go. So it's that kind of thing. And then we also talk about the singles as well. But it's a fun show.
Yes.
And that one's been getting some nice... people are listening to that one
a
lot more than this one, which is fine.
Yeah.
You're also very special to us. I'm not saying you're not special. I'm just saying the other audience. It's pretty big.
It's a big audience.
It's a pretty big audience. Not that you're not great. We love you. You were there first for us.
Yeah.
Listen, baby. I'm not seeing anyone else. Like,
that's right.
You know,
long after Completely Beatles is gone.
Oh, I'll come back.
We're still doing
things. I'll come back hat in hand.
Yeah.
But for now, I'm sowing my wild oats on a popular podcast over there for a little while. You know, I'm just having, I'm having what I call my trooper time.
Yeah.
Very popular for a brief period of time. But then, baby, I'm coming back to Canada. I'm gonna play the malls again.
Sure.
Don't worry, baby.
Yeah.
We'll be
back in the ice rinks.
Yeah, baby, we're going to be back next week.
Mm-hmm.
We love you. Why don't you give us a drop some notes sometime?
Sure.
I've been Ian Boothby.
I've been David Dedrick.
See you next week, baby. Somebody here. Cool.